Have you ever had questions that you wish you had your very own on-call pediatrician? Well, guess what? We are going to have a real pediatrician as a regular guest on the Dad Podcast. So if you have a question you've always wanted cleared up, please send it to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Because Dr. J wants you to stop Googling that shit and find out the real deal homie feel answer from a real deal homie feel pediatrician. So ask us at questions@thedadpodcast.com.
I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's awesome. Ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
I said, hey, listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 37. As you could see by the description, two things have happened. I've returned to Omaha, Nebraska. Hence, we have the amazing Heather Jones is here with us on the show. Hello, Heather. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, on a side note, this is something I'd never really kind of noticed, but one of the new guys at the door at the Funny Bone here in Omaha thought you were my wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
But just by the way that I spoke of you. That you and I were married, I guess, because
you,
I was...
Were you, like, cursing me out or something?
No,
like
that's what I thought,
like,
was...
Oh, God, this old battle axe, I can't freaking stand her. Every time I get into town, it's like, eh, nonstop.
That's a term I'd like to bring back. That's a... battle axe. Yeah, the old battle axe, you know how it goes. I don't know. I don't know. It made me laugh. Jen was there, yeah. Who the people listening don't know, but she's one of the managers, bartenders. She's a jack of all trades at the Omaha Funny Bone, and she thought she was very amused by it. But I kind of, it was funny that it just made me think that I guess it was a level of familiarity. Like you are,
right.
You are. Oh boy. Oh no, that's my father. Never mind. You are. That just scared me. All of a sudden, John Fogerty was playing. For those of you who can't hear at home. Like you're like my best friend when I come to Omaha, and we went to a trivia night last night. That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Heather took me to a trivia night at a Irish pub, at a Boxty.
That was
delicious. That was delicious. But right before we turned the microphones on, this is what I think is really interesting, is that you were talking to me about the difference in spiritualness of you and your husband. Am I?
Spirituality. Yeah. Or, right. I don't even know. I'm not going to use the right verbiage at all.
Nobody cares.
Right.
Here's the thing. People don't listen to someone like me if intelligence is their thing. Like, if they're like, you know what I want? I want a really articulated opinion about parenting. No. The people that listen to this show, I'm assuming, this is my assumption, listen because it's a little bit of like-minded, or... It's like going to Walmart late at night. It's to make you feel better about your own life.
Oh, totally. Well, then I am the perfect person for them to listen to tonight.
You're welcome.
Or today, whenever they're listening.
Heather and Justin, lowering the bar for parents all over the world.
We make you feel better about your failures, too.
Now, here's what makes Heather an expert, in my opinion. More of an expert than Dr. Phil could ever imagine to be, is Heather has 6 children. I think since you were last on the show, you added a child.
I did.
And now you are done with 6 children.
We're done, yeah. We're done.
And we talked about this a little bit last, but just for the sake of the listener who has it, go back and you could still see it. The episode's available with Heather. I don't know what number it is, but
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't listen
no,
to
I
it.
No, I liked it. I'm
did
a big
you?
Fan.
Did
I'm
you?
A big fan of
my mother,
all things Heather.
My mother was not.
Oh, she listened?
She did, like, 6 months later. I came home and she was just really super silent. And I was like, well, she was, I listened to your whip. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? That one with the dads? I'm like, what? Huh? That was like forever ago. What? You just... Yes, I did. I'm not very happy. Did you call your sister? I'm like, Mom, no, it's totally cool. Like, I talked to Chris. Yeah, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I didn't say anything that I, you know, wouldn't say in front of.
This is the best plug for that episode ever.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she talks about her sister and her meth problem and all that stuff. For those of you, was that, should I not have said, it's on the episode?
No, no, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I'm not, my mom's not going to listen to this one either.
For 6 months.
Oh, she'll be like, so when, when's that thing I want to listen to? I'm like, nah, I don't know. We decided not to do it.
Was it a thing where you said I have to go do a podcast? I could edit that out. You want me to edit that out?
No, no, oh, okay. Fine. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? We'll talk about it afterwards. Maybe we'll forget in the next 45,
couple
50
more
minutes.
Beers.
How mad was she? On a scale of 1 to 10.
I think she was just like, that I was using my family as, like I was making fun of her. And I wasn't. Like, it wasn't.
I don't remember you making fun of your mom.
No, it wasn't. Not my mom, my sister. She thought I was, or that I was talking about something that my sister would be uncomfortable hearing. And I
said, instead of just talking about your life, you're talking about everybody else's life.
And I said, no, Mom, you know, I called her right afterwards. I said, you know, and I said, would you prefer that I not, you know, and she said, no, you know, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So she's, it's all good.
Yeah, because it's not like this goes out to millions of people. It's, you know.
Right, right.
It just goes
like
down to a
10, 20. How many listeners do you have? Like 15?
A little over 1,000.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, 50. I thought you were going to say 1,000, like 15,000. No,
I was just teasing.
There was a time. There was a time when they were 12. And it's a weird thing to look back at that time and go, you still wanted to make another one. Like when you put it out there and there were only 12 people listening. So you have 6 children. You have how many boys?
4 boys and two
girls.
Yeah, and the 4 boys are the oldest and the last 2 are girls.
And it wasn't an attempt to have a girl. That wasn't
the
whole point.
No, in fact, we were going to stop at 5. And when I was pregnant with my first girl, number 5, because of the timing of when they did the ultrasounds, they weren't sure of what the sex was. They were like, no, we can't really tell because the baby's too – anyway. So we didn't know until she was born that it was indeed a girl. I'm like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with this? What? Are you kidding? I was like, if I close all over again, shit.
This is bullshit.
I know. This is crap. So, and then I thought, because we were going to stop at 5, and then I thought, and I had made jokes like, oh, now we have to have another one. And Tate's like, yeah, right. And everybody else in my family was like, no, are you kidding me? You're crazy, stupid. And then and we were just like, you know what, it's – but at least give her someone smaller than her if it's a boy or if it's another girl and it's a sister. So we decided to go for one more, and it turned out to be a girl, and they're little best buddies.
Oh, really?
To drive me – yeah, they do get along pretty well,
it's hard because it's one of these things that I wish everybody could see what I see is that I'm a big fan of your kids. Like, I haven't interacted with all of them at once like you do on a daily basis, but it's
Which is why I'm here doing a podcast drinking all your beer.
I know, right?
Thank God you called. I got to get out of the fucking house.
Is it hard? Is it that hard to get out of the house with 6 kids?
No. Sometimes, like when they're all there and I'm trying to leave. And especially if, like, I'm on a way to the show and it's like, oh, give me a kiss. And it's great. Like, oh, who doesn't want to have their kid, you know? But it's like, one more, you know? And it's like, oh, you know. So sometimes it takes, like, 10 minutes. And
that's good because I always think that because I only have 2 that they're so eager for my attention. But I felt like if I had more that they wouldn't care. But do you think it makes them more eager for your attention because there's more?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know because I can't really compare it to. No, I would say no. Like, even when I had less, I think they were just about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they feed off each other too. So if one wants a kiss, all of them want a kiss. If one doesn't give a crap, none of them care, you know.
Yeah.
Their apathy and eagerness.
Well, let's get back to this the spirituality conversation. Is this uncomfortable for you?
No, well, no. I feel like at my age and with the number of kids I have and like I should have had all this figured out, you know? Like I feel a failure.
You're talking about you're in the middle of figuring out your faith?
A little bit, yeah, because I grew up Catholic, and my parents weren't when I think of how Catholicism is portrayed today, it's very
kid friendly. Come on, you got to respect that. That was like kaboom. That was well timed. Very eloquent.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that one.
That's excellent.
A good piece of business, as they say. That's good.
But it was
good
stuff.
Good podcasting.
It seems like it's more conservative and it's more, you know, and that's not, I mean, I think it's like with any faith, there's so many different opinions and views and, yeah. you know, you have one, you have Opus Dei, which is super conservative, and then the Jesuits, which are like nice, great hippies, I think. So
those are both Catholics?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's hippie Catholics, yeah. And then there's hardcore, what I would call Mexican Catholics or Spanish Catholics.
Right.
And then there's Irish Catholics.
Which I am enjoying.
That's what
right
you
now.
Are. Yeah, right. You're a Jameson drinking Mick.
Right. Likes to fuck a lot.
Yeah.
Make a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Me and my husband,
we just fuck all the time and making kids, God damn it. I'm a Catholic. I love Jesus and the Pope. So, and I punch my husband in the face if he deserves it because I love that son of a bitch and bastard. I don't know why this is what I think an Irish Catholic accent is.
No.
This motherfucker right here. Like he's some kind of like featured extra on The Sopranos. That's what I feel like I'm doing.
Well, even Clive the bartender last night from the, he's from Ireland. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I'm more Catholic, I'm more Irish than you, Clive. Like,
yeah.
He's got one kid.
What a piece of shit.
I know.
Pick it up. Maybe that's why he moved here. He didn't move here. He was kicked out.
That's true.
He was exported for not shitting out enough kids.
That's right. Exactly.
Listen, if you're going to live in Ireland, you're going to be Irish, you motherfucker. So you're trying to decide if Catholicism is the way you want to go. Or the two denominations, or now three of denominations we've discovered of Catholicism, are you exploring Buddhism as well? Like, I'm not making fun.
No, this is just
really interesting to me.
It is well.
I've never had a conversation with another adult who's trying to figure out the faith and how that affects their family.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's not, you know, I kind of just took it as when I became adult. You know, I think most people, if they grow up a certain faith, they kind of. You know, drop out of that when they're 20s or whatever, when they're, you know, can choose to go. And then maybe when they have a family, you know, pick it up again as like their family tradition. Right. Mm-hmm. And and that's kind of what happened with me, except my husband's not Catholic and he's not, I wouldn't say he's atheist. He doesn't believe in, you know, the non-existence of God. He just believes that he doesn't necessarily agree.
What's that called? Agnostic. When
agnostic,
he doesn't
right.
say that there is or isn't.
Right.
He is without like, opinion.
Yeah. Like if Carl Sagan was he like,
he's the undecided vote on every USA
right.
Today
exactly
poll.
Right yeah
okay.
He's more like I believe something bigger out there blah blah blah, but it wasn't something so you know when my kids started you know I sent them to CCD, which is like the poor man's Catholic school.
Okay.
Like when you can't send your kids to Catholic school, you send them to like a weekly.
So they go to a public school and then they go to a side school to learn the Catholic part of
right.
Catholic school, private Catholic school.
Which I found out from a friend of mine, Kevin, who you met last night.
Uh-huh.
His mom teaches at that same school.
Oh, really?
And he grew up Catholic. And he remembers coming in the day after the CCD kids were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, where's my fucking pencils. God damn CCD kids. Like next day, all the kids come in and like, ah, man, they're messing with my desk. What the hell?
In his house?
No, at the school, in their classroom.
School, okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was cute. What the hell was I saying?
You were saying that
you can edit this out.
No.
Right? No.
You were putting your kids through CCD.
Right.
Each of the kids went through that.
So yeah, and it wasn't until last year where Elliot was in eighth grade. And
he's
the oldest, right. And he was, he's now a freshman in high school, but he was in eighth grade. And that was the year that he was going to go through confirmation. And that's the year where you have to go through and he was doing all the public service stuff you're supposed to do. And, you know, going down, feeding the hungry, you know, homeless and doing little public service things. He's also in the Boy Scouts, so I was like, can this serve
yeah,
like
double
two
down
of these?
On this,
like,
yeah.
Can we double dip on some of these? Like, come on, there's only so much time this kid has.
So, I've got five others, so
but apparently asking makes me an asshole, so.
Fuck those people. I think you not go Catholic then. I think that's reason enough to say fuck the Pope and everything he stands for. I'm pro Tom Hanks now. I'm more Illuminati. That's what I want to go after. Yeah. I'm like, fuck these guys. Just cause, what is it? What, like, but the Boy Scouts and the Catholics, I think, agree on 90% of everything.
Oh, probably.
You know?
Yeah.
So they don't shake smoke around. Like,
right.
Who are they going to get to start that fire that goes in that little canter thing?
That's right.
Boy Scout, damn it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to pick up your crap after?
Who's going to know how to tie all those knots on those fucking robes that they have? That's insane to me. The amount of robes, they look like Jedi. Liberace Jedi.
That's Liberace Jedi.
Okay, so he goes through all the community service.
Yeah, and he got to the point where he didn't. He did not want to be confirmed. Like he did not. I mean, he was like an altar boy. He was there, you know. And
he's like, I don't want to be Catholic.
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't want to be. I don't want to do it. I don't want to.
Mom, I'm a Jew. What is he? Right. Is that what he says?
He just that made me. I mean, I think it was reflecting a little bit of his dad and the fact that. I think he just understood that I he probably saw or perceived that I was kind of going through the motions of the actual acts of the ritual and not
didn't
really
believe it.
And yeah, and it's not that I don't believe it, but it's more or less like trying to separate. Right, right.
I'm sorry.
Like the mass every Sunday.
Every Sunday? Well, why not be Easter Catholic? Right, isn't that exactly, a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, Easter and Christmas. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My dad hated those people. That's He's funny. Like, they better rot in hell. No, I'm kidding. No, and that's the thing. Like, when I grew up, my parents, I mean, my dad was very open-minded. I think my dad was even a Republican, but it wasn't, it was like fiscal. You know, my dad was the kind that had an NRA bumper sticker right next to a Sierra Club bumper sticker.
Okay.
Because he believed.
What's a Sierra Club?
Sierra
I don't know
club.
What Sierra Club is.
What is that? Sierra. Am I not thinking the right club?
Kiwanis? Or?
No, Sierra. Sierra Club. It's like the oldest environmental
Oh, okay. So he's part hippie, part...
Right, right. And it was like, yeah, he's like, hey, the, you know, NRA, because, you know, they should teach kids how to shoot a rifle when they go hunt, you know? Yeah. But they shouldn't be spending all this stupid money lobbying crap like what we see today. And that was... He was saying... He died 15 years ago, so he was saying this 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... But yeah, my dad was very... Like, he thought gays, you know, he's like, I don't have a problem with gays. Yeah. So I never grew up with any sort of judgment or stereo, you know, like, you know,
correct
what I mean?
Opinions is what I'm hearing. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what you would, I guess, when you see the political arm of some of these organizations come out and speak, it's like, well, no, that's not what I was taught. And I know a lot of Catholics that weren't taught that. And so, but then I felt like okay, I could have those opinions, just keep them to myself, but I wasn't speaking out against those in church, and not that I was really socialized with these people anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, what am I teaching my kids? Am I teaching my kids it's good to just go along with, you know? And I still debate with that, because I think there are voices, there's room for voices of dissent, but, you know, there are those that would say, well, if you want to belong to the group, then you should belong to the, you know,
you have to drink the Kool-Aid.
Right. You have to, the whole point of being a part of a group is having, you know, collective thought about something. And I'm like, I don't really think that. So now I'm debating whether or not to, you know.
Whatever came of your son's decision to not become confirmed.
I did not make him. I did not make him. And that was, I remember sending, because it was the same, same year one of my other kids was, what do you call it? Eucharist. First communion, and they take the body of Christ for the first time. So that was the same year that happened. So it was kind of awkward, and they're like, hey, is your kid going to come to this thing? I'm like, nah, he's out. So, but we're still good for next Sunday, right? Like, I'm still bringing this kid.
Listen, it's an odds game. When you have six, let's be realistic, all right? I'm going to need you to grade on a curve, because not all these kids are going to fucking heaven. Am I right, Father? Am I right? Up top. These are the jokes. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone coming up this weekend. that's an interest. I am a person without faith. I have a friend who was, you know, he was helping me out, and he was like, you know, you really need to have something. I'm worried about you, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he goes, well, what about your children? And I say the thing of, well, it's up to them, whatever they want to do. I'm okay with, that's fine. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like if they're like, you know what, I want to walk with Christ, I'm going to be like, shut up, pansy. Like,
right.
Good luck with that, dummy. Let me introduce you to a little friend I call Bill Maher. So he goes, well, do you understand that he's like 90% of families or something like that? Whatever the father decides is the religion of the family. That's what everybody kind of follows suit as far as kids go. So he's like, it's on you. And I'm like, well, if it's on me, then I go, no, like, I think it's possible to raise people with good morals and ethics without that. That's just, you know, my opinion. I'm not against it. I don't have any beef with it or anything like that.
Right.
Against the obvious ones where people use it, misuse it for the sake of being hurtful. And like, you know, like the Phelps and all those assholes. I'd like to punch them in their faces. But So this is that's why this is so interesting to me, because not only are you dealing with your own faith, you're dealing with how to handle that with the faith of your children. And then it's also it's right. not like your husband is there going here, you know, walk with me. I'll show you the right. path kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's like, eh, whatever. It'll be fine. You know.
Right. And which is exactly why the Catholics would probably tell me I shouldn't have married that son of a bitch to begin with.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was just going
no, but it is kind of like when I'm filling out the forms, and I remember signing them up for the classes, and first of all, the forms didn't have enough room for all my kids. I'm like, this is a Catholic form?
Yeah,
seriously?
Come on. Yeah.
Can I get another one? Or just turn over the back. So, but, and they're like, was your husband and you married in a Catholic church? And I was like, yeah. No, I couldn't lie, but it was just kind of like, yeah, we're on somebody's list. They know. They know.
Now, does that mean that it's impossible for you guys to get into heaven? You know what I mean? Because you didn't get married in a Catholic church?
I don't know,
church?
But probably all of our children are bastards.
Really?
No.
Because he's not Catholic? Well, no, here's the thing. There's all these rules that
I know, totally.
Everybody's aware of.
Right.
And it's like, I think everybody kind of goes with the idea that in the Christian faith that, you know, Jesus died for the sins, and so now everything is forgiven.
Right.
And to what extent? I mean, I've had a famous quote that I know is entirely disrespectful to religion, and so I apologize in advance for making this statement to those of you with faith. But I said as a half, it's mostly a joke. I go, okay, say I'm a pedophile. And I go my entire life. I never touch a child. I stay within, you know, I'm a good person. I go to church all the time. And then I make it to heaven. Technically, in heaven, I should be able to have access to all the boys I could ever desire. Is that true or false or whatever? They didn't like that, who I was talking to. As you could probably imagine, that's a little inappropriate. But that's what I wasn't trying to say that the idea is flawed. I'm saying that it's misunderstood. Like there are things that right. happen within the social convention that everybody, even people like that, kind of make a little
right.
bit. And it's just like it wasn't.
Oh, how
the
they
old...
feel like yeah, like hey, I like a lot of cocaine, but I
yeah.
never touch it.
So
when I get into heaven,
when I get into heaven, I want to get all Muslim on this shit and get 72 lines of cocaine.
Exactly.
That's what I want to do.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm curious. I'm still curious about this, this journey or whatever. So what is your husband has no opinion. He just thinks this is like, to me, I feel like your husband's reaction to this is the same as if you decided to pick up scrapbooking. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Like
right,
he's like, oh, that's
right.
the little thing that the little lady
yeah.
does. Like she's searching around on Pinterest for things to do. And,
right.
and that's just what she does. Meanwhile, it's to you,
and
it's a big thing like faith. Like it's,
right.
it's life or death in the afterlife.
And not so much. Well, and I'm not even and it's not like a search for ultimate salvation. Like
yeah.
I want to be safe once if I croak tomorrow, I want to be, you know. But it's more like, how do I impart some sort of, I think it's intertwined with morality,
yeah.
like how to teach your kids to be morality,
right.
how to, you know, and spirituality and morality and, you know, and
that's a great point.
It's not even like, and spirituality doesn't necessarily have to do with like the religious part of it. You know what I mean? Like,
so
a little bit, but.
Real quick, just so I understand.
Yeah.
See, what you're saying is that you feel that this is something that is important to instill not only in your own life, but within
right.
your children's lives
Correct.
Because it gives them a moral compass.
Right.
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 Because that was my friend who was trying to convert me was saying, he goes, well, he goes, if you don't believe anything, then what's to stop you from just doing whatever you want to do? Like, why?
Did you look him dead in the eyes and go, motherfucker, nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
I could take you out right
well,
now.
And here's my point. My point to that, and again, I'm not trying to sway you either way. Mm-hmm. We're just having a conversation here.
Oh, yeah.
But my point to that is that to me, I feel like I'm almost even more of an example of what you're trying to achieve because I don't need the promise of an afterlife to be able to be like,
right.
I'm going to be a good person.
Right.
I told him, I said, I'm just a good person because I want to be a good person.
Right.
It's not because of any consequence. It's just because
it's an inherent.
That's who I am.
Right.
And I really do think that. While there are plenty of examples of evil and assholes and
right.
all that stuff, that I think that everybody would agree that whether they're religious or not, that there's examples on either side of the fence. And so that, to me, in my opinion, again, not to try and sway you one way or the other, but more to diffuse that urgency in you, is that that's something that is going to happen whether it's based in religion or based in who you are as a person.
Right.
Like whatever influence you provide to your children.
Exactly.
Like the idea that you're encouraging them to be in Boy Scouts and to do community service, like to go down to like a soup kitchen or help out with the elderly or something like that. That's huge. That's big, big stuff. And on some level, I think that's what we all do. If we could get them to understand that message of, hey, if you help other people, it feels pretty fucking good.
Right.
You know, just to do it for the sake of just helping someone else.
Right.
And it's a weirdly a self-serving one, but my kid did that. It was one of my moments of the week recently where he said, hey, I want to go to Panda Express for dinner. And it was my birthday. And I said, well, I don't know if we're going to go there. And he goes, it's okay. And my four-year-old has never done anything.
Right.
And I go, who are you? And what have you done with my child? And I said, why'd you say it's okay? He goes, well, Mom said it's your special day, so we have to do what you want to do. Now, I was really happy because he's 4 years old and had a little bit of awareness beyond himself.
Right.
That's huge to me. And I think that's kind of like what you're talking, right, with the moral and the values?
Right.
Or
yeah. And I think it was my aunt and
uncle. Or is it just to keep them from fucking each other? Not within your family. I'm saying now that your son is a freshman in high school. Yeah, no. Oh, God, no.
I was going to say, listen, I know you know my family's from West Virginia. All right. But
so fair. So unfair to the South. But
I'm going
to
grab another beer.
Go for it. Hey, back here. I'll join you.
No, no, pause. Oh, no. We're
no. The okay. We're back with beers in hand. So is the idea that you just want to keep your kids from having premarital sex, or do you care about that?
No. I mean, I do care from a standpoint of, you know, like babies and STDs and things like that. I did used to.
What are you more afraid of? Because you're in the thick of it. Your kid's a freshman, so this is could be any day soon.
Babies.
You're more afraid of babies than STDs, right?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Antibiotics can't cure babies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can, but you know.
They're more likely to cause babies. Isn't that weird too? isn't that a real thing that if you take like a antibiotic while you're on the pill, it just nullifies it and you can get pregnant?
I have no idea.
Well, it makes sense that the chick with six kids wouldn't understand how to process birth control and the Catholic of all things. You got to fucking double down. Do you hiss when you see a condom like a vampire in sunlight? Is that what happens?
It's like burns. I just like immediately burn it on sight. Just like laser.
Oh, damn it, Heather, I love you. So you're more afraid of the babies than the STDs because there could be a cure, right?
Right, right.
And for you, because of your faith, abortion is like, no way, no how.
Oh, no, and that's a thing that is a complicated issue for me, too, because I think, I'm not, and that's the whole reason why I think I'm, you know.
On the fence.
Right, yeah.
Where you struggle.
You know, I do think that, I do believe a woman does have a right to choose.
Yeah.
The idea of what, like, I would never choose.
Unless
she
asked for it.
And
by ask for it, I mean wearing a low-cut top.
Right.
Or a short skirt.
Right.
Or heels. At least heels. And enough makeup to be like, come on. All right, go for it.
She has to have at least 5 vaginal probes to determine whether there's a heartbeat before she's allowed to have one.
Okay. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm on board. I support you, and I will vote for you to be my assembly member. Don't even know why that's what you do as assembly member, but okay.
I think it's terrible what that issue has done to like pregnancy centers. And you know, I had a lot of friends in college who were poor college kids and would access like the Planned Parenthood for, you know, basic women's needs. Like if they had, you know, like a, I don't know what the hell, whatever women get down there. I don't know. It's been so long since I can remember.
Are you trying to say yeast infection?
I think so. I think that's the word. I think I just like threw
does
up
your
in my
vagina
mouth.
Not function anymore?
No, I don't
is that
know.
What you're trying to say?
What's that thing?
When
that
was the last time you saw it? Like, this is unfair because you people can't see here. This is not. I'm not saying that Heather is too heavy set, much like a man cannot see. I'm just saying, I just feel like with 6 children, you're so busy that you have no time to pay attention to your
own
vagina.
Yeah, That's true. Even they even offered to like show me when I was giving birth. Like, do you want to see you in the mirror? I'm like, get that thing away from me. No, that is not normal.
Who wants to? No. I mean, I understand. I would have a curiosity, I guess, if I had a vagina. But I think the minute I saw it, I'd be like, that's enough. That's
yeah,
enough.
That's
right
enough
there.
Of that.
So okay. I want to. Here's what, this. I know in my head. I understand that we can't walk away from this podcast and having you go, well, I figured that out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
But the idea of the struggle, I think, is really
right.
interesting to me. You know, you said you have this book. Is this book any connection to that? Tell me what it is again. I just know it's from Deepak Chopra.
It's Deepak Chopra, and it's the 7 Spiritual Laws for Parents that I bought like maybe 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. And how far into it are you?
5 pages.
Wow. Wow. And here's what I love about that is that there is not a person listening to this podcast that is judging you at all, because they're like, 6 kids. I can't believe she even bought the fucking book 4 years ago, let alone be able to read 4 or 5 pages.
So far, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of these, by the way, a lot of these are like great improv games.
I'm listening.
4th law is okay, so hold on. The 4th law of spiritual, like, you know, for adults to read.
Let me do this. So okay. It points out there. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the 4th law is the law of least effort. Nature's intelligence functions with effortless ease, with carefreeness, mm-hmm. harmony, and love. When we harness these forces, we create success with the same effortless ease. I am reading this like my mother reads.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Let me see
you
that.
Can edit that
because
right?
I want to see. So you're saying that could be an improv game, or you're saying it's improv advice?
Well, so I'm reading all of these
because it sounds like it's just saying go with the flow. Am I misinterpreting what you're reading?
No, that's totally it.
What feels right spiritually is probably the best informed choice.
Right. And that's what he does in this other page. He breaks it down to how you explain it to children, and that's actually how I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
So then he went 4th law, don't say no, go with the flow. I'm like, I get that. Why don't you just start with that? So he breaks it down for the kids, but that's the part I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that I don't like in life where they, you know, you feel like you read a paragraph and then it's like, you know, you could have said this in one sentence. But then for some reason, because I crave conciseness, I'm the idiot. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you could have just said, go with the flow and everything
don't
will be fine.
No, right.
Yeah, don't say no. Then, okay.
Right.
Chapter 2. Let's move it right along. You would be halfway through that book instead of 5 pages.
Oh, no shit.
But no, he's got to extrapolate and go on and on. And then it's like, but you and I have this conversation. Like, why don't you just say go with the flow? Don't say no.
No, you got it right away. I still didn't get it until I got to the second part. And I'm like, oh, that's how.
Yeah. But see, my point is that people look at that idea, that concept as being mm-hmm. stupid. That, you know, we're idiots because we crave the idea of just simplifying. And I think that's dumb, especially in books. And that's why movies always are better than books. And that's the message of this podcast. Stay frosty, everyone.
You can seriously edit that part where
we're not editing anything.
Just go back to the part where you read it.
Why?
I just realized
I didn't read anything.
My mom was reading a joke the other day, and I read that exactly how she did it, and she was driving me fucking nuts.
You will become your mother, Heather.
She was like,
do you not understand?
Reading
that?
Something, and every 3 sentences, every 3 words, she would go, see, oopsie, oopsie, and then I was like, just read the goddamn joke. What the? And I about had an aneurysm.
Now,
and I've turned into her.
What would the Pope want you to do when dealing with your mother in that situation? Do you think he'd want you to go with the flow and not say no?
That's probably true.
He probably. I think the Pope would disagree with Deepak Chopra, and he's more no to everything. You know what I mean? No birth control.
Right.
No happiness. No gays, none of that. If we could get away from that, that would be awesome. Do you find that you're – there's no chair there. I put my hand out and there was no chair there. You can't see that. Sorry, guys. Do you find as you get older, are you seeing more and more ways that you're like your mother?
And like expressions and how I say things, yeah.
Yeah, just
but I was never like one that grew up and be like, I'm never gonna be like my mother.
Yeah,
you
your
know
mother's
what I mean?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. And
how did your mother lives with you guys, right?
She does part of the time. She travels a lot, especially I work
travels for fun, right?
For fun, right. And like she was I left my full time job about a year and a half ago, and mm-hmm. since then like she'll leave for
like a month and a half to 2 months at a time and go and visit family and stuff. And which is good for her. And then she comes back and
she helps out with the kids and stuff usually.
Right. Yeah. So like, nights
and how
like
does
this.
Tate feel about living with his mother?
He loves it. He's
really?
Fine. Yeah. He's totally
that
cool.
Lucky
like,
motherfucker.
I think he gets along better with her than sometimes her and I do. Because,
really?
Right. Because
she loves him.
Oh, she does. Oh yeah.
She
yeah.
adores him.
Yeah.
Does she, do you know why?
I think she likes how he treats me. Like, I think yeah. he appreciates compared to her other sons-in-laws who.
Oh.
Yeah.
That who, sounds like that bar's pretty low. No, I'm kidding. Right, I'm totally
exactly.
fucking with you.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah.
No, that's great.
I think he's just, you know, he's pretty laid back. He's an only
he's
child.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. He's super laid back. So he's not like, right. I think. Yeah. The rest of my family, my siblings and I represent more of my dad's side of the family, which is very loud, boisterous, volatile, you know, just And I think her and him had the same temperament. She came from a family that was more demure and she's, you know, and he's kind of laid back. And
although how would your mother feel if we talked about sex on this podcast?
Oh, it would be fine. She thinks it's really funny now to ask me for like when I go to the store, like, get some hard salami. I really want some hard salami. I haven't had hard salami in a long time. Like, she knows how to get me now because we've desensitized her to our humor. Yeah. And then she turns it around on us and, like, throws in and we're just like, ugh.
I just like – I like the ambiguousness yeah. and right. the slapping of the face of that joke.
Exactly.
Like, because she's, I don't know, 70-something, whatever her age is, that, you know, I just want a hard salami that you think she would appreciate cold cuts. You know what I mean?
She's like 67.
Whatever.
I think he said 70, so she's going to be so pissed. She will not have gotten past the point where you said, God damn it.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's fine. I should have just opened with that.
I took the Lord.
Hello, down. Welcome to episode 37. God damn it, God damn it, God damn it. Jesus is a crock of shit. Oh. Okay, now we can talk freely. now that Heather's mom is. Fuck the Pope. It came up on last week's episode. And I'm curious because now I realize that I do this is Breaking Bad for you. But I said I was going to say I realize I have a woman here with me who can weigh in on this subject. And because I talked about this where and I'm curious, do you in your relationship, and you could honestly please tell me,
yeah.
and this I will edit out if you don't feel comfortable talking about this. Is that as a woman, do you feel an obligation to have sex with your husband?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
No.
No. And I think, no, no.
Now, is that because, so you, and here's what I think. Do you feel like you just, it's not like he's ever wanting for it, I guess is my example.
Partly. And I think it's how you view it. So it's, I mean, the word obligation kind of just has a very derogatory tone to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's more like, even if you're not, and there have been times where I'm just like not in the mood, you know.
And what do you do?
But you just kind of, excuse the expression, you just nut up, man up. I know you hate that when I say nut up.
I don't hate it. I've never said that I hated it. But I've never loved it more than right now.
I literally nut up.
Yeah, exactly. You just nut up.
You do it. It's literal. I think you just kind of get in the, you know what I mean? So it's
now here's the thing. Cause I'm curious about this is it a situation where, has there ever been a time where you're like, all right. And then it doesn't go like, that was good. I'm glad I did that. Like, I feel like sex can often be a trip to Disneyland. You understand?
Always awesome.
Yeah. But when you get, here's the thing. Getting there, for whatever reason, the kids are making noise. Or if you have to fly, you're like, fuck. And, you know, and you're just.
Right.
There is never more anger than in that fucking parking structure outside Disneyland. Just, God damn, getting a stroller. I drove all the way the fucking here. Got real plane again and again. It's bullshit, you know? And then you get in there, and for whatever reason, for me, it just kind of melts away. Everything.
Right, exactly.
A listener, Tanker, calls it Disney magic is what he calls
it. It is Disney magic, yeah.
And then when you're there, you're like, yay, that was fun. And then, you know, you might have a moment or whatever, like, you know, like where you accidentally get your hair elbowed on or something. Like that is the sexual equivalent is what I'm saying. And then there's nobody putting elbows on your hair in Disneyland. If there is, that's a weird trip. You were there on some kind of Pride Week of some kind. Not the Pride Week, but something. Like, I don't know. But anyway, But then when you walk away, you're like, yeah, you're a little more tired, but you're like, that was fun. I'm glad we did that. That was worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a fair analogy?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think so.
Why do you think, can you even wrap your mind around the idea of why women kind of go, oh, he's always bothering me for this. He's always, what is like, oh, why is this, oh, so why do I have to do this? Or like, there's the other thing I think is interesting. And here's the thing, much like you and your spiritual journey,
right.
I am kind of on a curiosity of a sexual journey.
Sexual journey.
Where I'm trying to, this is going great.
You're going to say sexual journey. He said sexual journey. Oh yeah, they're totally equivalent.
I'm trying to decide if I like cock, which I think is very similar to what you're trying to do. Very similar.
Totally.
Totally the same thing.
When you sit down, you want to impart the sexual journey to your children.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't want to pigeonhole them into some heterosexual
I kid, but that's a very important part of a marriage, I think.
I think so, too.
I think I think you cannot. I mean, there will be people that argue with that and say, no, you can have a good marriage. It's like, well, no. I mean,
I think you can, but I think both parties, much like anything, both parties have to be in agreement.
Right, exactly.
If I'm not a sexual person and my wife is not a sexual person and we both believe that sex is primarily for procreation and there isn't a recreational aspect of it, then everybody walks away unscathed.
That's great. And you guys probably suck at a party.
Yeah. Suck at a party?
Well, literally not suck. Yeah. Probably not.
Like a key party is what you're thinking. They would be literally the worst people to invite to a key party. Like, it's just like, why is there a fishbowl here? Why is everybody, just put your keys in. We're going to see what happens. We're going to play fill a hole. Come on. It's awesome. It's the 70s. I like the two people who were three in the 70s are laughing about this. Yeah. Like, oh, that's fun for me. Because did I give you a chance to answer that question? Is that
about
where does that sense of obligation come from? Where does it become?
Well, I think, for me, it's even if I'm not necessarily in the mood and my husband is, I think about the times where I'm in the mood and he's not necessarily in the mood. You know?
Oh, really?
How that makes me feel. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
That's incredible, Heather. I'm a big fan of you, too.
Aww,
I'm a big fan
you.
Of the Joneses. Seriously, I mean it. That's incredible because the conversation that I had, and I think I told you a little bit of this story, is that I had a moment with my wife where I said, you know, when we get back home, let's have sex every day for a month, right? And she goes, oh, I couldn't even imagine. That's what she said. And I started laughing at the time. And then I started having this thought that, you know what, if I said that to you, do you know what that would do to you as a person?
Right.
And I just kind of noticed that this is a double standard, that men are just supposed to take this rejection because it's just part of being a fucking man.
Right. You're always asking for it.
Yeah. You're always asking for it and you're never interested in it, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And yet, if it did turn, if we Liz Estrada'd your asses, you know what I mean? But I don't like there's a part of me that's an idealistic as a man that thinks that if we did Liz Estrada, you guys, and withhold, that there would just be no caving. There would just be like, oh, this is great. And there's everybody just running around dancing and have so much energy. And you know what I mean?
Right.
And reading all their Deepak Chopra books completely. And
but in fairness to your wife, as much as I will oblige my husband whenever he wants it. If he said to me, like, in the car or whatever, like, in a moment where we couldn't be intimate at that time, let's have sex every day for a month, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Are you serious? That really does sound exhausting.
Yes.
So it comes down to when you're actually,
let's
exercise.
That's what I mean. That's what I want to understand.
Like, doing anything every day for a month. If you say, let's eat lobster every day for a month, I don't like steak. I'll say just steak. Sticker, I'd be like, oh god, that sounds like a lot of meat. Like,
well, here's because I'm glad you brought this.
But I would love it. I would love to eat steak every day for a month.
Right.
And I would have heart.
But the idea of it seems daunting, and that's the part that I want to Here's my thing. If I didn't have the batting average with my wife that I have, you understand what I'm saying? If I was a 2-pump chump, I'm not saying that Daddy hasn't hit his slumps. All right. I've had my fair shares of 0-4s, if you know what I'm saying, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. I've stepped to the plate and swung and a miss, all right? I've had my fair share. But I've got a pretty damn good batting average. So right. To me, I just feel like, well, wait a minute. Like if it was that, if I was struggling in that area,
right?
So what it does to my male brain is it makes me doubt that, like, this whole idea of like, well, what if I am that? Say, like, I've always thought that I was different than other married men, and that it's like, well, it's different for me. You know, right. my wife's way into me, just like I'm way into her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this little dynamic shifted. And I know I'm beating this subject to death, but I think it's because it's a really huge thing for a lot of relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I'm cool. Like, now we've worked through it and everything's fine. But I just think it's really, really interesting. And I don't really get women on the show a lot. So I apologize if I'm digging too deep in this. But if it was a thing.
You've said so many innuendos that just makes right? me like digging You're deep, like a 12-year-old beating boy. Around the bush. I'm like, oh, I love it. Crack up like a 12-year-old boy.
Exactly. Which is probably why you don't mind having sex with your husband whenever. Because you're like a 12-year-old boy.
I don't think I really qualify as like a real woman.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I mean. It's like having a dude with boobs on the show. It's like... And I like how insensitive I am that you're on this like spiritual journey. And then I'm like, let's talk about fucking, sucking and fucking, fucking and sucking. There, now it's recorded for you. So if it was a thing where it wasn't enjoyable for her, that's the only thing that I could understand. And I'm trying to wrap my mind, because as a man, you approach sex with men look at women and what they have to do with sex is that a lot of times I really mean 99.9% of the time, women just have to lay there. And I really think that, right, it's not like you could just go limp, although maybe some guys are into that, let's be honest. But that it's not like with us, there's a performance level. There is a, you have to have, some guys have to have like a game day ritual. Like you're getting ready for the Super Bowl and you can only have grilled chicken and grilled asparagus and that's it. Otherwise, you won't be able to make it till the fourth quarter. You know,
right.
There's that element to it. Whereas for a woman, it's I feel uh-huh. it's a very passive thing that it is. As a guy, we look at it and go, it is up to our performance that dictates your enjoyment. Whereas women just have to exist as women and we will enjoy it.
Oh, gotcha.
So the idea for us that there is an obligation for you, I think, is hard for us to process, because even though we may not be aware of it on that level, I think for us it's like, well, what are you Yeah, what are you really doing?
What are you doing? You just gotta lay there and enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, help me out. You could tell me what to do or something, and like stick a thumb in my ass.
Every
and whatever
woman
it takes
that
to get you there.
Every woman that listens to your podcast says, "Went, what the fuck did he just say?"
Right, and that's why I said it, because I want to understand. I want to understand the other side of the coin, because we have a lot of moms and women that listen to this show because they think it gives them insight into the male perspective. And
I have never heard that perspective, how you said it, too. Like,
I really think that it's everybody.
What's the worst? Like, come on. How bad is it? You just lay there and take my large penis, insert it into you multiple times over and over and over again, just regardless
you know what
of whether
I love?
Or not you're
you know,
lubricated.
You know what I love? Is that every guy listening to this thinks that I think she's trying to make a point, but I don't understand because she just said my penis is large. Like, I don't know what happened after that.
And I want her to say it slower.
And yet every chick is exactly like, she is in my brain right now. And I can't believe how dead on the nose she is. So am I right in my assumption in that what you're saying is that it isn't strictly just laying there. Like,
there's a
vulnerable to it. You're literally being penetrated.
Right.
And that's beyond. So it's more of a psychological thing. Am I wrong?
I think so. I think that's very much part of it. I think if your head is not in the game, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you have to be, you literally are like teammates. You have to be on the same page and enjoying it. And sometimes, like, you know, and I won't say that I haven't done it sometimes and maybe wasn't full head in the game, but of my own choosing, because I'm like, but knowing that, okay, this is giving him a lot of pleasure right now.
Right.
This is good. And yeah. Not to be like, for lack of a better, but it's kind of enjoyable, you know, for whatever. But even if I don't.
So you're saying, what you're, just so I can make, I want to make sure I understand, because I think we might be on the verge of solving a long problem here.
I think so. Dr. Right? Dr. Filkin.
Deepak, yeah, he gets suck it. He can, because.
You should have another beer. That's really good.
It's just this, got interesting.
Justin's going to run naked to the woods of Omaha.
Not out there that cold. No way. There will not be any large penis in that situation. It's been bad enough just inside this condo. Jesus Christ, I'm glad my wife isn't here. It's embarrassing. Anyway, that was an overshare. And no, I'm kidding. But so, damn it, I lost my thought. Is that the psychological aspect of it? Because I still can't, here's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I still can't understand what it is, other than like the mindset, right? Okay, that's what I want to say. Is there, even if a woman doesn't have an orgasm, say, right?
Right.
Is it still not enjoyable? Does that mean that it's just like, ugh? Like,
no.
It's like, that's not fun at all.
No,
that was just,
no.
What a disappointment.
No,
All right. So is it the same as like, let's say, a DiGiorno's pizza as opposed to your favorite pizza? Okay? You see what I'm going here? Do you like that my stupid man brain has to use male analogies to understand the female perspective? Is that you understand what I mean? That a sex without orgasm for a woman is a frozen pizza.
It's like a Coach purse versus a Prada.
Oh, see, again, I don't understand.
I mean, I don't know either. But no, did you want to? I know, I get it.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That if I got a fresh pizza from like Frank's out here,
right,
as opposed to a DiGiorno's, like I'll still enjoy the pizza,
right,
but I won't enjoy it as much as I would the Frank's.
Exactly.
I wouldn't sit there. I might go have a thought of like, hey, you know, Frank's would have, of course, been better.
Right.
But guess what? I don't have Frank's. DiGiorno's is right here, right now.
Right.
I can have that anytime I want. There's an element of a convenience to it.
And I just want to make it clear that you are not correlating DiGiorno's with your wife's vagina.
Vagina? No.
Right. Okay. All right.
No. Although it is frozen. It is like an icicle. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
No, I'm just making that clear. I know you weren't.
No.
But I'm just making that clear.
What I'm trying to say,
woman listening,
yes,
that you're not making that correlation.
Right.
You're talking about like a woman
right
laying there.
I'm saying that for a woman's enjoyment,
right,
that's what I'm saying, is that
your penis is the DiGiorno,
yes,
versus the,
yes,
Frank's pizza.
Yes.
And by the way, Frank's pizza, like you should say, it's like a really good,
yeah, large slice, New York style, humongous
place.
Pepperoni. Your mom would enjoy it.
Large salami.
Yo,
large salami.
Large
on
hard
there.
Salami.
Hard salami.
Low sodium. I'm watching my heart pressure. My blood pressure, heart pressure. What a dumbass. But you see what I mean? Is that
right.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, except for the analogy, which I still can't wrap my head around.
I know. Okay.
I have that image now.
Well, what I'm trying to say is,
I have flappy labias and salami stuck in my head. Like, I just envision weird. I like the visuals I have in my head are just like, ugh. But no, yeah. Okay, yeah. Because I will say, like, there's never been a time where I've had sex and been like, nah, God, I really wish I would have gotten
right,
10 extra
I think
minutes
as a,
of sleep.
As a guy, right, we think that if we don't give you an orgasm, we think that was completely unbearable.
It was a failure.
It was a failure. And but not only like a failure in that life just continues on, but like and even beyond, like, I could have used 10 more minutes of sleep, that
right,
it's like almost like you're disappointed in who we are. Like you're angry.
Right.
Not angry. That's maybe too much. But it's just like, well, that's why I don't want to do that again. Like, it's
right,
less of a thing. And I'm trying to understand, because I would like to assume or think or feel that it's like, that was great. Because I've had that where it's like, if I don't swing for the fences and hit it out of the park, I'm apologetic to my wife. And
right,
I don't know. I like to think that all the other guys are like that are listening to this, that are like,
mm-hmm,
even if maybe they don't have that comfort or they don't like the vulnerability of saying that or whatever. But I like
right
to think that we're all thinking that we're like, man, I just, because that's an association with your masculinity, with your manhood, is there's a sexual prowess and ability to please a woman that I think is built into us biologically. Like,
well, and I wonder how much of it has to do with the fact that there's so many stereotypical things,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, men are always asking for it and their wives are always like, I've got
right
a headache, you know? And so, and it all, in essence, it comes down to the actual relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm,
so if there is like a major sexual issue, even if it's temporary, that, you know, could do with a lot of things. Like, people will tell you it has to do with, like, you know, it could be like a temporary medical thing. It could be, you know, whatever. You know
right
what I mean? Like, but if it's a long going thing that's existed your whole relationship, then that's something that goes down to, it's like fighting about money. You're not really fighting about money. You're fighting about something deeper in the relationship.
But
you
see,
know?
Here's my example. I agree wholeheartedly. I can't, right. I couldn't agree with you more. And what that makes me think is, for the sake of the conversation, is that I think that the fact that it's an issue with the relationship is also more of a feminine approach that I think a husband or a man is more likely
compartmentalizing.
Kind of like
bit?
even though like when Natalie and I hit this little like hiccup, kind of, it's not even a real hiccup. I'm really just it really is honestly an issue that I'm making into a bigger issue through this show. Just because
you're a girl.
I am kind of a girl. No, I'm not going to deny that.
No, but
I think that it's a thing that everybody deals with, right, and that I was completely oblivious to. And for the first time, I have what I would consider a taste of what that might feel like. And I think it's very interesting. I think it's very compelling and it's very real. And that's why I'm interested. So my point is that I had this situation where it's like I felt like, well, now there's a problem with our relationship that's making me feel unattractive, that's making me feel unwanted, and it's beyond just the usual guy wants to bone down and chick is like, I've got a headache.
Right.
Whereas, and I think that most guys know and have an understanding, but it's a different – there is an element of a disconnect to it where it's like you have this instinct where it's like, okay – well, if I want it, then there's all these things I have to do for her to get it.
Oh, gotcha.
You see what I mean?
Like a quid pro quo, like, yeah.
Right.
I've
right.
got to give – it's like a give and take. Well, right. yeah. And, that's
and to
not...
boil that down, I think that right. happens. But to boil that down is that what that does is that what takes what's supposed to be – to get back to your spiritual thing, what is supposed to be more of a – honestly, I'm being serious. To get back to it is that what is supposed to be more of a spiritual or an emotional connection
– it should be, yeah.
has now become practical and mechanical.
Right.
Where it's like it's a transaction as opposed to an intent.
Right.
So
I agree. Yeah.
If I give you this, I expect this in return,
right.
as opposed to because I love you, this is why I do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to that, I also want to add that I offer the idea that because you do this all the time for your husband,
uh-huh.
you have a husband who not only is a great dude,
yeah.
who loves you very much, but also has an outstanding relationship with his mother-in-law. And I think that that is no – that's you know what I mean? Like – and I guess it's a chicken or an egg kind of situation where maybe that I in my mind, because yeah. of what we're talking about, I'm thinking, oh, well, it's because you have this great sex life. But it's like, no, maybe all of it is connected. How
I
say
think
you to
so.
That?
I think it is connected, you know, and it's too. It's the guy. It's I think when you look at it in too many terms of black and white,
mm-hmm.
like it's either not spiritual or it's just, you know,
yeah.
mechanical, whatever. I think sometimes, you know, there have been times where we've done it just because, oh, my God. We just want to bump it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we just want to get it done. It doesn't matter if it's hot and sexy, if we have foreplay or whatever. You just kind of have that urge and that built-up sexual energy, and you just want to, you know,
yeah.
whatever. And there are times where you do want to connect, you know, and it does take longer, and you enjoy it and whatever. And I think you can have both of those things. I think as long as you're on the same page, and you – I mean, and it really goes back to reciprocating what you would like to get from your partner, you
yeah.
know. And I think it, I mean, and I will go and say, like, I know men do probably compartmentalize it, but I think you're right. Women can't. I think it goes back to the relationship. If it's a long-standing thing of the man always wanting it and the woman always saying no, 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 then there's something, you know what I mean? There's like a deeper issue that
yeah,
has to...
I think men compartmentalize it, but I do think that there is a connection that maybe some guys aren't aware. Because
right.
I think I am, but I'm also like, I'm a chick in that sense where I'm very
right.
connected to what I'm thinking. And
temporary
feeling.
Hiccups, I think, don't count. I think temporary
yeah.
hiccups
no, no,
are
yeah,
like
yeah.
something completely different
yeah.
that, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think what I'm referring to is like longstanding things. And two, and both men and women, I think, go to this where they don't explore it, they don't think about it, and they don't really talk about it or communicate with it. And also they go to the, whatever the popular notion is, you know, well, this is just the way it is. Like, men
yeah.
are always wanting it, women are never wanting it, you know.
Yeah. And it's why it's one of the biggest issues that I think we're going to – I think it's going to become, in the next 20 years, it's going to be a humongous issue between men and women. Like, I honestly believe that we're going to see – maybe your younger kids, because my kids are the same age as your
yeah.
younger kids, is that we're going to see their marriages are going to struggle with this, because I really think that this whole princess – philosophy is just going to it's going to compound that. Not because I don't think women should feel or be empowered. I think that it's when that empowerment shifts from not being empowered to being entitled and not understanding
oh, right.
that they have
yeah.
obligations within a relationship
right.
that it's like, listen, I'm a woman. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
You're supposed to buy me nice things and do these things for me.
Right.
And that is beyond just what is the expectation of a dude. Like, I really think right. that we're going to see this huge issue where I think sex is going to be a humongous issue within relationships. That's
but
all I'm saying.
I see the opposite of that happening, too, where I think, I think maybe my, you know, maybe we're representing the first generation of this, where I think my husband is probably maybe the first generation, because I know he's different from his dad.
Yeah.
Never changed a diaper. And Tate has always been like very involved. Right. And you obviously are always involved. So I think we are the first generation of that different of the, you know, and maybe it's just going with like the public display of gender, what the gender, you know, represents, you know, mm-hmm. men working, women staying at home, whatever. And then we'll go deeper into it sexually and whatever in the coming years. But, I think it's going to get better. I mean, I think it's, you know.
So you think relationship? Well, I agree with what you're saying is that in that area, but well, maybe I'm being kind of a dick about it. Maybe I need to process that idea a little bit more before I.
Yeah, I probably need to get laid. Yeah, been in Omaha way too long.
Would that be great? Here's what I wish could happen.
Natalie, when he gets home, please just tell him. Even if you don't want to do it every day for 30 years, just tell him. Yeah, this sounds like a good idea.
Well, here's what.
You'll fall asleep after day two.
Yeah.
You'll just like give up on it, but if she just says yes, you'll be happy.
We have a history that there was a time right before she went on the pill that literally, like, that chick, God bless her, because I as a man, she has a keen power of emasculating me. Like, she's amazing at it without even intending to. Like, when we first moved out, we were literally going at it 5 times a day. Like, it was just insanity. Right. And it was just all the time. And we both were having the time of our lives. And I just hit this point where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I really think that bar of limit has been shortened. That fence is a lot closer. And there's a strong chance that as much as I would have liked to have fought that fight just for the sake of the journey, if you would, but that is a war she probably could have won easily. That I'm more likely to start cowering in a corner and needing a Silkwood shower before she ever would. She's much stronger than I am.
I don't know if I eat a loofah sponge before you go just for
Silkwood, you think? All right. Yeah. Hey, you're right.
Loofah, no, just like,
I just feel like a man, I have more abrasive skin, but in actuality, as many a man will tell me when I shake hands with him after a show, you've never worked a day in your life, have you? These soft, moisturized hands. I don't moisturize, asshole, okay? But what I was going to say too is that I would like to have this conversation and literally be able to smash cut me go have sex with my wife and then come right back and go, I don't know what we're talking about. This is
everything's good. It's good.
Like with anything, you just lose interest. Like
you were like, oh my God, you know what you are right now? You were literally, you're like Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Okay.
On the Today Show.
I'm both of them?
Because I consider them like a pair, like together.
Okay, whatever. But I am both of them is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they had to go 30 days without drinking on the air so that they could get some freaking interview in some magazine or whatever. And so every day they keep talking about how they can't drink before they,
and
like,
they would obsess about it.
Yeah, they obsess about it. Like, yeah, you are them without sex. Mm-hmm. And like as soon as you get home, like you'd be like, you won't even air this podcast. You'd be like, it's so irrelevant now because I got laid.
No, here's the thing. I actually went through this whole phase where this was predominantly on my mind, and now it's not really an issue, but I keep like a backlog kind of notes of topics that of things that have happened in my life so that I could be prepared to talk about them on the show. And that's where it is, because I think it's a weird thing. Right. And I don't know if this is interesting to listen to, but to be 100% honest, the idea of this show came from me just wanting to be goofy. Excuse me, and talk about, you know, my comedy and what I thought was funny about. And then I started getting like, I would get these emails of people that would say, oh, that really helped me or whatever. And you're like, that was never my intent. That was never.
I don't want to help people.
Yeah. And it's like, it's this weird thing where you kind of go, I'm not supposed to do that. That's not who I am. Like, I don't have my shit together. Like,
right.
I'm not.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in no place. And so then I kind of realized that what I do like is that here's what I can do. I can't give advice. I can't offer solutions. I could say this is what I've been through in no different way than a friend might have a conversation with another friend. And if that gives some kind of insight into somebody else, or if I can articulate something in a way that maybe somebody goes, oh, shit, I never thought of that way. Like what I said last week, I was pretty proud of, is that I said that I think that men look at sex in the same way that women look at affection. We don't see it as we see it almost as like a thing like a hug. Like in the same way that that stereotypically, I know there's a lot of generalities being said, but in the same way that women like you to come home from work, say, and give them a hug and give them a kiss and like kind of check in with them and like look at them and go, how was your day? And all that stuff. That's how men kind of see sex, like that it isn't a big deal. But it is a form of affection for us that is beyond a hug. That while I could be happy with a hug, but here's the thing, nobody ever cheated on somebody because they didn't get enough hugs. You know what I'm saying? Like that's you know what I mean. I'm not giving an excuse for cheating. I'm just saying that as much as I'm not happy about it, I'm just saying that maybe there is a chance that there is a biological wiring, and that's the way it works.
I think too. Well, and I think it has to do with how we're taught as men and women about sex. You know, for me, my parents, I know, had a very healthy sex life. In fact, that's how my dad croaked. Mm-hmm. You forgot?
Go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear about that.
Died with a boner.
This is why I wanted to talk about this with you, is because I think you and I came up with very similar upbringings on this issue.
And so, but because you had a very open family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I told my parents the day after I lost my virginity.
Exactly.
I told them. Like it was, like I passed my driver's test.
Right.
That's what I told them.
And my family growing up, I never wanted to talk about sex. Like my parents would try to have that talk with me. I'd be like, no, I got it in school. No, I'm good. I'm good. Like they'd be like, do you need pads? Is it your period? I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Like I never wanted to say the word period. I don't like anything to do. Like, even to this day, my mom's like, I don't know how you have six kids.
Yeah.
Because you never fucking, anyway.
You never wanted to talk about it.
Right. But my dad was.
Let me just say, she did not like the hard salami tape. So just consider yourself lucky that you got in there six times. That's all I'm saying. Because her father and I were very worried. We were very worried that flower of a vagina of hers
would never
see the sting of a bee.
Oh my God.
Are you still listening now, Mrs. Smith? And I want you to know, if I ever meet you, I'm going to turn red in the face if you bring this up, because I probably will have forgotten.
I'm going to bring her out on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah. Let's have her as a guest on the show.
She would end it with a complimentary hand job. She'd be like, let me just tell you, I just can't leave without you.
She would give me a little rub and tug before she left. I just feel so bad. You're here all alone. My husband is gone. God rest his soul. Going to see him in heaven. But, you know, he's not going to mind. He was so, we were swingers.
Oh, my God. But I didn't know until I was like an adult that my parents had a healthy sex, you know.
Right.
And so, but I just knowing that, you know, and also knowing how my dad treated my mom. He never said anything about, you know, my mom was never like a skinny. I mean, she was when they first got together, but after having a couple of kids, she was.
Yeah,
you know,
she was a mom.
Right, exactly.
I really think, and I never heard,
but he always treated her like she was the most beautiful person on the face of the earth. And knowing now, you know, that they had a very healthy sex life, way more than I would like to know.
I really think, honest to God, and if you're a guy listening, please send me if this is the case, and I will keep it anonymous, but I don't buy that men look at their wives who have had children and they just go, ugh, look at her. She's just, ugh.
Right.
You know what? What I need is, I need Kate Upton. That's the only thing that could
Who's
get
Kate Upton.
She was the swimsuit model. I was trying to think of the most relevant model.
Like, you think of Middleton? No, that's the prince.
Kate Middleton, yeah.
No, but
well, she's good looking.
I knew I didn't have the right.
But Kate Upton is like, she's, you know, got a 12-inch waist and fucking ginormous watermelons on her chest. Like,
gotcha.
And to me, I just feel like, dude, that's a lot. That's a lot for me to deal with. Like, I can't hang.
Right.
I'm more than happy with, you know, with what I have at home. Like, that's.
Right.
And I know that doesn't sound complimentary, that it's, but I just don't. I really don't buy that men look, no matter how, I don't care if you're 80 pounds overweight.
Right.
I just honestly think that that's where men get an unfair representation, that they, for them, sex is entirely physical. I think that it is more physical than it might be with women, but I think that there is also a connection, because otherwise, anytime any woman put on any kind of weight, a man would never fucking touch her again.
Oh, right, right.
It would, you know what I mean? And I think that maybe, I don't know, I'm throwing it out there. I know I'm saying a lot way out of school here. I'm getting up on a soapbox. But I think that there's some kind of way that it's slipped in that the only reason men continue to be loyal to their wives is because that's what they're supposed to do.
Oh, no.
And I don't buy that. I do think that there is an element in a man's brain that they might see a chick walking down the street and the monkey part of their brain will go, yeah, I'd like to hit that. You know
what? But there's not a woman that doesn't
exactly
do the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's normal. But I just don't buy that men don't find women attractive as they get older.
I think that has to come to, like, mutual respect. Yeah. And it goes back to the relationship. Like, right. Do you actually honestly respect the woman that is the mother of your children? You know, do you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think they do.
That's what I'm saying. I think they do. I think if they didn't, then they would leave.
I honestly have an example of one of my sisters whose soon to be ex-husband does not have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are all based on very unhealthy.
They're anomalies.
Anomalies.
I really believe that.
Right, exactly. Which I think people mistake for being the norm, and it's not the case.
Because marriages are so hard, and there's all these statistics that say most of them end in divorce and all that stuff. But and how say you to this, Heather Jones? I think that most marriages end the way they do and become such a struggle because like things like this are not things that, especially when you have children. Here's an element of having children that I did not foresee affecting my marriage in the way that it did is that it hinders my ability to have this. Go ahead. She wants to go get another beer. Grab me one too, if you don't mind. It hinders my ability to have these kinds of conversations with my wife. So like what we were talking about is that in order for me to reconnect, to have this relationship with my wife, these levels of honesty where I could tell her this is how I feel and she could say the same to me, that because we have children now and, you know, at the wee hours of the night after you get them to sleep, really all you want to do is be able to sit down and just enjoy some Modern Family. And you
– exactly.
It's, you know, you don't want to – it's like doing your taxes. It's like you know that if you sit down and you do your taxes, there's a strong chance you're going to have a fat return or some kind of return that's going to come and you're going to use that to go on a vacation or buy some new television or whatever. But – getting into that point is like, I just don't want to sit. I don't want to do that.
Right, exactly.
All that anticipation. And so,
which is interesting because I think that's, for me, that's what I have with the spirituality part with my husband.
You know, really?
Because I think I know what his point of view is. And so to delve deeper into it and to challenge his view and to say, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's why.
But you don't want to challenge his view in the way that you want to try and get him over to your side?
Or not necessarily, but even just
you want to pick his brain.
Right. It's almost like I assume I know what he's going to say, so I don't even bother with it. Because you're right. It is. As parents, you only have so many hours in the day.
Right.
It took me freaking 4 years to pick up the goddamn Deepak Chopra
Right.
book. And So do you really want to get into a conversation? Do you want to just kind of enjoy some mindless, you know, entertainment?
A marathon of Dexter.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's what the Joneses just did. For those of you at home, they just did a marathon of Dexter.
I just orgasmed.
Like, yeah, her and her husband did a marathon of Dexter. The kids would go to sleep and you would just watch Dexter till the wee hours of the night.
That's probably should be said something said for that. The fact that all of the shows that we marathon have to do with like death or dismemberment or some sort of like
you have six children
thing.
You're allowed to be a little macabre.
Like,
I feel
before that was The Sopranos, it was Six Feet Under, it was like always something very dark. Like, if this doesn't have fucking killing in it, forget it. Breaking Bad, whatever.
No, I think, well, maybe it's a little bit of overcompensation because so much children's entertainment is such bullshit and so light and fluffy.
Oh, that's true.
Because my parents did the same thing.
Very good insight.
And I was like, why would you do that? And that's what just, because my mom is like, my parents, when we all moved out of the house, if it didn't have adult language, violence, and nudity, and sex or something like that. That whenever it'd show up on HBO and they would say these are blah blah blah, they go, oh, that's for us. They didn't even know what the title was.
We're gonna watch it.
That was their
We're
running.
Gonna watch all of it.
Yeah, their running gag between them. Well, if they're gonna be cursing and fucking shooting each other and fucking and sucking and fucking, then we're
awesome.
Gonna watch it. That's what we're gonna do, and that's what they've done.
That's probably it.
As
there's only so much
older.
Caillou you can handle
all
day.
There's no amount of Caillou.
Oh, I know,
handle.
I know you.
No
hate
amount of Caillou. Anyone should ever fucking handle. I apologize to the people who made Caillou because I don't want to take away your living. And I'm sure that there's some kind of a suit asshole who said that's the way the show has to be and you could make a far better show. But if you honestly look at that and think that that is awesome entertainment for children, I want you to go fucking die. No, not die. Just stop working. That's what I want. That's all I want. Oh, my God. Look at you. Heather Jones. You are the best. We just killed an hour and 10 minutes and didn't even blink.
Oh my God.
Didn't even blink. So here, well, before we get done with this,
okay.
I feel like I want to button it. And I want to throw out there, because let's say we heard all this conversation, and let's say that, you know, let's treat the listener almost like they're a friend who's going through this same
right.
issue. Like, my advice, if you're a lady, for the dude, is honest, just to try and adopt a level of your philosophy if you can, and to try and find a way, because I think that it is a mental, to grow and don't say no. But
it's the second law. It would be the second law, and I won't read the first. I won't read like the adult version because
yeah.
I would fuck
confuse
that up.
Me,
right?
And...
But the kid version of that is, if you want to get something, give it.
Yeah.
That is the second one.
And that try to find a way to spin it in your brain to where...
to make it palatable to fucking
right.
lay there and take it for a couple pumps until he falls asleep.
Right. or do something incredibly freaky and then it will be over real quick. That's also an option that I didn't think about that. Because my wife has definitely done that to me. Where I'm, hey, what are you? No, no, what are you doing? Stop. No. Oh, sweet Jesus. No. Oh, damn it. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, Jesus.
Tate and I recently went into... I don't know why I'm going off on this tangent. Tate and I recently...
Your mother's going to be very proud.
We recently went into an adult sex shop.
Yeah! For fun? Like, you're just like, ah, fuck it, why not?
Well, there's this part... Like, Omaha has a couple, like, hipster... And if anybody knows Omaha music, it's, like, famous for, like, Bright Eyes, like, Connor Oberst... the hipster, you know, the faint, the, I don't know, whatever, a bunch of...
311.
Well, 311's like way before these guys. I don't know. Like Saddle Creek, right? So this part where they, this like very hipster part of Omaha has a new sex shop. And I think I did a show over there or something, and mm-hmm. Tate and I were leaving. And I was like, let's go hit it up. And they have this thing called the Tunnel of Love, where it's like a little attraction where you walk through and it's like one of those things where it has like the spinning tunnel around.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go into a haunted house and it makes
yeah,
you feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
you're like, ugh. So you go through that and then it exits out the back of the freaking shop.
Oh.
So I'm like, let's just play and whatever. So we were there and like snapping around. And I have never felt more like I've been to one before, like as a joke with friends
yeah.
and stuff. But
this felt like home.
But. No, but being there with your husband
just
and like
feel so having... safe and warm, and you start self lubing like you wouldn't believe. I get it. I'm picking
but
up
we
what
were
you're
like. Look at this.
No, I know, Heather. I know. You're like, God, I could put about four of those in me. Jesus Christ! If you could just, you know, that has an attachment for your DeWalt, honey. Yeah. No.
Whatever, like the
that's
one thing
love.
That looked like the, there was one thing that looked like an iMac, like an Apple presentation.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
It was like 50, but now nah, let's go to this other side.
And that's what I always think about that stuff is that I wonder if what the arc was. Like I imagine that it was like there was just sponges of some kind or something. You know
sponges.
What I mean?
What are
like
sponges?
What I'm saying is that if we went back to the 1920s and we found a sex shop, which would be in some alleyway somewhere.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
the level of aggression that comes out. Like I've been in a sex shop. My joke is that if I find out it's a friend of mine and she's a female friend and I ask her, it's her birthday, I say, what would you like for your birthday? And I hope that they give the polite answer because what they always say, no, I don't need anything. I go, great. Well, at least tell me your favorite color. And then
you buy her a pink dildo.
And
that's awesome.
Yep, that's what I do. And I've been in these shops, and there's ones that are like 3 feet. They just look like they look like you're gonna beat the shit out of somebody.
I know. That's the thing that we were looking at these things, and we honestly were like looking like let's. But it's weird because you know you've got like these 20-something guys that work there, and they're like, "Hey, do you need?" I'm like, "No, we got it.
We know what we're doing."
Yeah, yeah. And then we like make
our
way.
So you're holding that wrong. That's.
I know. We make our way into the back of the store, and that turns out to be like the SM. I'm like, I am not pro enough for this. Like. Back it out. Back
yeah,
it
back
out.
It out. No ball gags. No ball gags. No.
I can't handle this.
I cannot. All I think is Pulp Fiction right now.
Safety
I gotta
rope.
Get out of here.
Safety rope. Yeah. I didn't know that existed.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. It's apparently so. It's I don't know.
Like it's rope you could tie up, but doesn't hurt. Like
right,
I'm imagining
apparently.
It doesn't like irritate the skin or something. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
I assume from the demo on the doll that
awesome.
I saw.
But God love you guys. You guys
I
are
know.
The best. That you just
we ended
see that's
just
fun.
Buying some lube and leaving.
Yeah. Damn it. Yeah.
And part of me, I just felt so stupid because I felt like I just wanted to make jokes continuously. Mm-hmm. And the people there are like, yeah, no, we've heard it all. It's like, I'm like, no, but I'm a comedian. Yeah. They're like, no.
I feel like as a comedian, we should all have to do our tour at a sex shop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like just for stories. Like I feel like if I wanted to write a book, I would just, you know what? I'm going to go to the retail. And that's what I'm going to do. If my comedy career fails and this podcast fails, I'm going to go get a job at a sex shop and try and write a book of it. That's what I've learned from this experience.
You know what? If I've learned nothing from listening to NPR for 10 years, it's that that kind of shit works.
Yeah. I know.
Taking like weird, obscure little jobs. Like, yeah.
Limo driver.
Snake charmer for 6 months, and I wrote a fucking best-selling book about it.
Yep. That's how I roll.
There you go.
So to get back to
sorry.
No, there's no need to apologize.
I thought I had a point about the sex shop story, and maybe it was just – the fact that we did something funny and weird.
Just goofy and weird and for the fun of it.
And it was uncomfortable for me, and even though it shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like, Tate was like, no, you get up and talk about stupid shit on for your, you know. But it was just like...
Here's what I think, and I don't. Maybe it's because you're a woman and you feel like you can't be like, look at this weird shit. Yeah. But it's not like your husband is the kind of guy you're like, oh, God, I could put that 3 feet in your asshole. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that dude.
Right,
he's
not
like, come on, honey.
I can't wait to use this on you.
Put the bunny up your ass. Let's do it. Why do you never want to have fun with me?
It's called a jackrabbit for a reason.
Jesus Christ. Why are we even fucking here? God, I'm going through the tunnel of love by myself. Because evidently you won't go with me. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like he's that guy either.
Right, right.
But I guess what I was saying is for the guys is to try to find a way. And if I had that answer, I wouldn't be a dude, I think. But it's to spin it to where think of it as your way of giving the affection that you would like from your husband. Is that that's the best way I could put it.
You're spinning it for the ladies, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that for a lady as a way to tell a dude to get into that mindset, I'm offering it up and saying – that if you, instead of looking at it like sex and this job or whatever, is to look at it.
It shouldn't be not, I mean, and I think that's what it comes down to, is when you think of it in terms of obligation.
Right.
Obligation is such a negative.
Or a currency. That's another thing. Although,
currency.
A currency, like an exchange. Like, so for instance, like there are a lot of women who use
like reciprocity.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what a currency means.
Currency is money.
Oh, currency. Oh, currency. A currency.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was like, oh, currency. Like,
no, oh, currency. No, a currency. Is that if you used it like, well, this will get me that. Like, I think that's a bad move. Although, here's what I do agree with, and my brother did this to much success.
Right.
Is that if you are in a situation where you go, listen, here's what I'm willing to do for you, but I need a handbag. That's what I need, or whatever your thing may be. I'm going to need a manicure. I'm going to need a pedicure. I'm going to need a ladies' night out, and we're going to go to Ruth Chris's Steakhouse. Whatever it is. I don't know. That's not where I'm here to help. But if you say, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down on you like I'm going to suck start a Harley. Or as soon as you took a sip of your beer, I was trying to come up with something that would make you spit it. Or, you know, whatever it is. Or I'm going to dress up or whatever. Or we're going to do it every day for 30 days. Whatever it is that gets you that thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Go for that. Because I think as long as both of you are understood, like as long as it's presented. But if you in your mind are going, if I do this, he will get this for me. That's not going to work. But if you're upfront about the transaction in advance, I think that that is also a nice way to spice things up, in my opinion.
Except that that's like if that's the real exchange instead of just like kind of like a funny.
I see what you're saying.
You know, surface exchange.
If that's what you think, people who are having a real issue in this with this in their marriage, you're not saying, let's not get Warren Buffett on this. Let's not get. We're not going to teach an economics course in the vagina and the penis as far as supply and demand.
You're going to get yourself. A heated driveway. If you give me a hot vagina for 30 days.
Hot steamy vagina. Right. But honestly, I think that if you can wrap your mind around the idea that this is the same idea as giving him a hug, and that there is a difference between men and women, and that's all it is that it's just going to not. It's a weird thing to say, but. It's going to honestly make your man look at you and go, Jesus Christ, I am the luckiest man alive, because he already looks at you as an object of desire and lust. Like, I guarantee you that if you walk...
I thought you were going to say, like, an object of...
meat. Like,
you're like, I was going to say something really disgusting. No. Three beers in, I shouldn't say it.
I think a man, honestly, if you're walking out of the shower, just try it.
A depository of some sort,
no,
if you will.
No. That is all not right. How men see it. I honestly think that men look at it, like if you walk around naked, it will be hard for them to focus. And if you're a man listening to this and your wife is, because here's the thing.
Hold on. You say that though.
What?
I have walked around naked for a man.
What do you mean? And what does it do? I want to know. He's not distracted in the slightest?
No, not at all? No, but you know,
here's what I think.
Funny things. Like I'll wear like Mandarin, like, you know.
Mandarin?
I'll do funny things. Like I'll stick my stomach out, like, hey, baby, let's come and do that. You know, like I'll take a bite of chocolate and be like, hey, whatever.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. I guarantee that if your husband, say he's sitting down in bed and you're doing your end of the night routine,
right,
and he's reading a magazine, I guarantee you if you walk out of the bathroom and over to your dresser, buck naked, that he has looked up from the magazine and checked you out. Whether you're aware of it or not, I guarantee that he notices.
I guarantee it.
I know that to be a fact.
Right.
And I think that's universal.
Or he'll be like, hey, the door's open. The kids are still awake. Come on.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying. He's saying nice ass when he says that. That's what he's really saying. Way to keep it high and tight. I appreciate it. Everything that you do for me. All right. Now, can you offer a suggestion equally for the guys? That if a guy is wanting to... reciprocate or kind of mend that bridge.
I feel bad because I don't think it's necessary. Well, I don't know because I don't know necessarily. I would say my message is also to the women because I think it has to do with how we're taught about sex, mm-hmm. or we're taught about how to enjoy sex, that we're allowed to enjoy sex.
Okay, well, let's say that in the mood, when you're in when you're not necessarily in the mood, is there something that, because I think it might be something beyond just, hey, a rubbing of the back. Tell me if I'm right. I would say that you have to remove affection as being an agenda for getting sex. That would be a thing that I would assume is the answer. Like if
remove affection. For
like what I'm saying is that you have to hug and kiss not just for the sake of hoping to get laid. You have to not do things with the agenda of getting laid.
Oh right.
That you have to just.
Otherwise, like family reunions would be really awkward.
Really awkward. Do you think that's a fair assessment? In order to make a woman feel more comfortable and put her in the mood, that there you have to go back to kind of like what you did when you were 20. But I really think that the mindset also has to be spun for the guy where it's like, I have to do this and not with the hopes of getting laid later. Like I have to find a way to push out of my mind. And if I could be present, it's just like, here's the analogy I'll give. My friend took me to a strip club. And it was Mons Venus in Tampa, Florida.
He forced me to go.
He did. Well, they did. I wasn't necessarily like dragged, but I was like, it's not really my thing. It makes me embarrassed, to be honest. But so they're there, and these two guys were throwing money at the strippers because they had the intent of getting laid. And what happens is that what these guys don't know, just like what you figured out at the jokes you're trying to make at the sex shop checkout guy, is that my friend just went there. He wasn't trying to get laid. He just wanted to have fun.
Right.
So he had two lap dances for free because he didn't expect her to grind her genitals all over his crotch. He just danced with her like she was no different than a girl at any club, only she happened to be buck naked while he was dancing with her to the song. She loved him. Now, conversely, to the guys who were throwing money at them, trying to go, well, this is, I'm trying to get laid.
Right.
The guy who's not getting laid probably could have had a three-way with two hot strippers in Tampa, Florida. Because he was not trying to get laid.
Exactly.
That's what I would
bet
say.
Deepak has an opinion on that. Oh, my God. Enjoy the journey. Maybe it's 6 law. I don't know. Every time you wish or want, you plant a seed. When you make a choice, you change it. No. That's probably not count.
Well, that was her show.
What was I supposed to say? Did you stop recording already?
No, I haven't been recording this whole time. Why would I? I just wanted to have an excuse to talk with you and sit down.
It's like three beers in. We should start recording now. Okay,
now. That was the warm-up.
This is the practice.
Do you want to do – it's up to you. Do you want to do moments of the week with your kids?
Wow.
Like where you had a nice touching moment or – or whatever. I don't want to put that on you because I feel it's different. Most of the people I have on the show have one or two kids. You have six.
Yeah, I know. So that's a lot. Like another 20 minutes.
Exactly. And not that the listeners don't care about the time, I'm sure. but that
they have fallen asleep by now.
They've
masturbated by now.
Yeah, probably. I mean, listen to the sounds of our voice. There's at least a few nudging of peanuts. That's an inside joke for my listeners. And there's a lot
you
of guys.
You said the word nut up a couple times.
Jergen's stock just rose, is what I'm saying. Yeah, just by the sound of your voice and the knowing that you're willing to go to a sex shop and pound back three beers. There's a lot of guys that are like, man, these jeans are real tight right now. Real freaking tight. You want to do, or we don't have to do a moment of the week. We just wrap it up. It's up to you. What would you like to do?
No, we can do a moment of the week.
You want to do a moment
of the
week?
I would just say, I think in the bigger issue, though, my advice to everyone is like, rethink, just always be ready to reevaluate how you thought about sex when you were growing up, mm-hmm. what you were taught about sex, and how you want to enjoy yourself, not to be ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe a lot of the hangups come with how we're taught as, either socially or by our parents or whatever, what it is and how that affects our relationships. I think it's more, and sometimes, hey, if you guys are doing it and you guys are not on the same page, it's okay if it doesn't work out a couple times.
I like it. Now, as an option, if you'd rather not do moments of the week, we can also do a little thing that we call suburban rage, where you can bitch about rich white people problems. If you want to talk about that, do you have anything that...
What's right people problems?
Yeah, like they're not real problems. Like if you lived in Kenya or that's a bad example, but some third world country or whatever.
Tanzania,
that's right? Where Jane Goodall with the monkeys. That was a trivia question for those of you who were not at the pub this week. But we could bitch and moan about some of those, or we could do moments of the week. I leave it to you, my guest.
I will give moments of the week.
You want to do moments of the week?
What was your moment of the week? Because you've not been home. Uh-huh. I know you're eager to get back home.
Yeah.
You've been just bitching every day about how bad you want to get back home.
I know.
It's really fucking annoying, by the way.
Thank you.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's cute, by the way. You just make these little sides like, oh, I can't wait to get back home.
I can't. Well, here, let me, I'll play this because we have a sponsor for a moment.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So, my moments of the week, I've already shared the Super Bowl moment. Let me see if I have something that's old, because that literally happened this last week. But I'm trying to think. I know that here's what I've enjoyed is it's fun for Jack. When I call and I do FaceTime, like I'm probably going to do that later on tonight, as I'll be able to video chat with the kids. And
which sounds terrible, by the way.
FaceTime?
If you say FaceTime. No. Just like when they're like, I'm going to FaceTime you. That sounds like so terrible.
That's your beer stalking.
I know.
FaceTime. Because having some FaceTime, that means, what I mean?
That's not true.
Maybe, FaceTime. Which one of us is sexually repressed? Jesus Christ. Heather, holy crap. Maybe you need a hard salami from the Hy-Vee.
You should edit that part out. Like this last half hour probably should not even be.
No, I love it all. And so will the listeners. So I do the FaceTime with him, and it's funny because he can't really talk. He's got words and everything that he kind of says every now and then, but it's just a lot of, he looks at me very seriously, gets a furrowed brow, and he goes, and he looks like around the room and he just filibusters with his nonsense, which is pretty fucking cute. And I go, uh-huh. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Occasionally he throws in a, uh-huh. Like I go, oh, so you had fun with Vava? Like I assume what he's trying to explain to me, right, what happened in his day. He goes, uh-huh. Like, and just fucking melts my heart. And then Jacob, I'm going to do an old one. Is that... I put him to bed a couple times before I left, and he's been reading my old books from when I was a kid. And so there's something like, aww, when I remember these books when I would read them as a kid, and I remember getting them and stuff, and then being able to share them with him. And it's funny, I like to do voices for the characters and stuff when I read them. And he always looks at me like he's like I can't tell that he's like, what are you doing? And I know it's an element of that. He's like, what are you fucking weirdo? And, but at the same time, I think he kind of likes that I put in the effort or whatever.
Right.
And so, and then every time when this is his thing he's been doing for a while, but it's especially when he goes to bed. Every time when I go to bed, I go, okay, good night, son. I love you. And as the door shuts, he goes, good night, dad. I love you too. Like, you know,
aww.
And I go, all right, good night, dad. I love you. And I say, I love you too, son. He goes, okay, I love you. Like he does that weird teenage love thing where you
right.
can't, you know. So that's pretty cute. All right, so your turn.
I can't think of anything now. I had something. Okay, so like all my kids say, but for the sake of, I think I have to just pick one.
Okay.
And that seems to be Liam, who's my 10-year-old, mm-hmm. who lately has been having like.
Is he your second oldest? Where does he fall?
He's second oldest. Okay. He's number two. And I've been having some issues with him because Elliot, you've met,
mm-hmm.
who got 40% of the pub quiz
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, for the amendments.
You're right. And I never had any problems with him. Liam tends to be a little bit more of a challenge, I think, probably maybe because he's number two.
Mm-hmm.
And he tends to be more outbursts, more volatile, more like my dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
And anyway, and so when I – the other day I had to discipline him about something because
oh.
he had an outburst about something.
Ruh-roh.
And then – I know. But then I gave in. And this is terrible. Like I – you know, I had just saw like a – CSI SVU whatever Law and Order SVU thing about this like you know this is like I just like foresaw him being in like a future episode like I'm freaking turning him into this like, crazy person because I'm not disciplining him well enough but anyway I had this thing where he had this outburst and I still took him and did what I told him I was going to go do but then we come back I said you know what you know I don't even say it to you.
Why?
For the next 2 days, no iPad for the next 2 days.
Uh-huh.
No iPad, which is like a kind of a big deal in my
yeah.
house. We have a couple iPads. We
yeah.
have three.
You're so- really feeling the crunch of the economy, huh? Really? It's really hard for you.
I think I just combined the real rich people. Like,
yeah,
no, we're not
suburban
rich,
rage
but yeah.
moment of the week.
We're not like the white people.
No, it's
problems.
Hard. Yeah, I mean, you only have three, but you have six children. Oh, my God. It's so hard.
No, but I told him, I was like, no computer.
Is one of your kids allergic to gluten, too?
Oh
is that what happens?
No, but a lot of them have EpiPens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
nut allergies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. So, we're coming back, and I should, right when he had his outburst, my initial instinct, which was correct as a parent, would have been, no, you're done. You
yeah.
know, you go to your room. You're going to spend the rest of the night in bed, da-da-da. But I still took him and did what we were going to go do, which was even more lame. But
what? Some mom and son activity?
Yeah.
Will it embarrass him or you?
Me.
Oh, I want to hear it then.
I took him to Target to get some Tic Tacs.
That was a you and him thing?
Yeah. He wanted,
like that's like having a catch with your father.
No, that wasn't like a thing we do every like
I
week,
see.
But it was just a thing that I told him I would do with him.
He wants some Tic Tacs and you're like, I'll go
take Tic Tacs. And I was like,
listen, hold on.
I'll take
anybody listening right now who has two or less children who's laughing at this and judging it, fuck you. All right, because I have two kids and I'm sitting here going, you know what? I don't even know how the fuck you do anything with six. So I honestly think, even though he's number two of six, I still right. think at a certain point, you're like, yeah, sure, let's go get some fucking Tic Tacs. Yeah.
And you get out of the fucking house.
And it's just sure. you and him time in
right.
the car right there.
Right.
And I know that we're laughing at it, but I can get it.
That was part of the reason why I did it. I still took him is because it was some alone time.
You had promised, and that was,
right,
yeah, that's a little
probably,
bit of a bonding.
Which goes
it's
back
not
to,
about the Tic Tacs.
Right, but it goes back to probably what I think causes the problem, which is I think he looks
there's not
for,
enough you and him time.
Well, I think he has outbursts for even negative attention, so
yeah.
even when I'm giving him negative attention, still attention, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, so that part of my brain, which said initially, like, no, you're going to spend the rest of your night in bed, you little
yeah.
jackass. Don't you ever talk to, you know, you're not going to scream and have a fit like that. Get your
yeah.
ass upstairs. Still went and said, okay, let's go to the store. We'll go da da da. And we had a talk on the way back. I said, okay, you know what, Liam, you're still responsible for this action. You still have to, you know, next 2 days, no iPad.
So
I sound
hard.
So stupid. But
how
you know,
angry
when
he was without the Angry Birds as an outlet. How angry and frustrated he must be.
But that is
you're
like...
fine. I'm only busting your balls because you're making it so easy. You're making you are you feel
terrible.
Far worse than you ever should. It doesn't sound terrible.
It's like no way.
Here's what you're
you.
doing. What you're doing is you're shitting on every parent who lets their kid play with an iPad. You don't even know it.
No, no, no.
Let's not. We don't have. Listen, there are no ethnics that listen to this show. Okay, it's all rich white people that got it all fucking figured out.
So I said on the way back, I said, "Hey Liam, like, no, you know,
no iPad for 2 days."
And then he faked, got upset, and went, "What?" Because he does this when he gets upset. He's like, "Ah!" And he goes, "What?" And he goes, "I'm just kidding. No, I understand. Like, I get it, Mom.
I get it. Yeah. I get the lesson you taught right. me."
Which made me think, like, I failed even more.
Like, it would be the jumping end to your after school special. Like, it's like, right. "I'm just kidding. I get it. You want me to be more calm." Right. Da da da.
Like, that's exactly what it was. It was like even more of a fuck you. Like,
oh, really? No, is that how you perceive? I would never have perceived it that way.
But when he's in a good mood, I think he probably has borderline personality disorder. I don't know. I should probably take him back to the psychiatrist.
He's fine. He's just a kid. I just think it's so funny because I could definitely relate to that, not to open up a whole other thing, but it's like that idea that I think it's new. I don't think our parents, like as in yours or my parents, like I don't think they ever had guilt about discipline that parents today have. Isn't that weird and silly? I hope not all of them deal with this, but I deal with it.
But now growing up, it's like, oh my God, if you smack them, they're going to have fucking...
But even beyond that, like you just said, I'm going to take away your iPad, something that's non-essential.
And you're like... 5 years ago, it didn't even exist. Right.
And you're sitting there riddled with guilt. Like, what am I doing the right thing? Is it too much? Am I being too hard on him? Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I just want him to know that I love him.
For me, it's like not hard enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I should have taken away, like... Yeah, but
his hair or what? Like, where do you go from my
stuff out while he's sleeping?
You're gonna take away his Facebook? Is that what you're gonna do? He's not gonna be able to.
He's not gonna be able to.
You're gonna take away the 50 inch plasma in his room? Is that what you're gonna do?
Yeah, but when he's like, okay, like, yeah, I got the punishment.
Yeah,
good.
I get it.
It's cute, Mom.
It's cute, Mom. What you're doing is real cute.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah.
Because of what I just did, that I could fucking turn on and off on a dime. You're doing a bang up job.
And then he comes back in like the quote from Law and Order SVU, "You're not doing that kid any favors."
Is that Richard Belzer who's telling you that?
So, yeah. Like, with the tinted glasses, "You're not doing
or
that
Ice
kid
tea.
Any favors." Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't take parenting advice from Ice-T. Have you seen his wife? That chick is a freaking
nature.
Oh,
my God.
And nobody loves Coco. I'll be honest with you. I'm not even Ice. Anyway, you can follow Heather on Twitter at TheHeatherJones. Do you have a website you want to throw out there?
I do. HeatherJonesComedy.com.
All right, perfect. Check her out at HeatherJonesComedy.com, or you can find her on the Book of Fate. What?
I'm going to be on the Nick Mom site.
That's
soon.
Right.
Hey,
I'm so sorry that we never even Heather, this is so exciting. Heather went to a comedy festival in New York and was sought out by one of the people from Nickelodeon, and she got picked up to do a 4-episode web series. Is the pilot already up, or is that something that only certain people could see?
No, the pilot was just like one of the pitches I sent them, so it's not public or anything.
Oh,
but
okay.
They bought 4 videos, and that's...
Please send me an email, and I will let the listeners know when they come out.
And
it's really...
It's a mom
in a therapy session trying to figure out like what she should do, kind of like what we were just laughing about at the end.
This is exactly what my whole life is.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really funny idea, and what's great, it's just a nice little short... form a piece of content that moms and dads can check out and laugh and feel a little bit better about.
It's
what
like
they're
Dr. Katz live action.
Yeah.
And the therapist is a real therapist in real life.
That's awesome. But not your therapist. He's an awesome
No,
actor.
No. He just happens to be a therapist. He's like, an improv guy.
The joke is that it's really my therapy session. That's the joke, guys. That's
and
the
he
joke.
He has no idea he's being
so,
recorded.
So, yeah. But follow her at Heather Jones, or you could also find her on Facebook, and you can find out there. Otherwise, I will tell you. You could follow the show at Dad Podcast. Like I said last week, I'm really trying to make a huge push and would appreciate it if you guys wouldn't mind going to thedadpodcast.com.
$2 a fucking month.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow.
That's all it takes to change your life is $2 a month. I put $100 in your account right now.
Thank you, Heather, for yelling at our listeners. She's going to take away all your iPads.
I can't believe it. Like,
and there will be no Tic Tacs for you motherfuckers.
If you've ever listened to NPR and heard their spiel, are you serious? It's like $2 a month. That's nothing. That's fucking nothing.
Wow. Thank you, Heather.
Come on. $2 a month.
Thank you. Thank you. Except for the two or three people that are listening is going, that would fucking bankrupt me. That's I could barely hang
on to
this.
But everybody else is rich and has a lot of iPads.
That's true. That listens to this show.
And can judge me.
So welcome. If you're listening to the show and you think that you're struggling financially, you were wrong.
Hey, listen,
you are wealthy.
For every $24 you deposit or whatever, you can do 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
But if you do like 12 months or 6 months or 3 months, whatever, you can send me a shitty email.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I will read it and cry, probably. Okay. And you can judge me as much as
you want. Or maybe you're saying, are you saying that as a term for their paying $2 a month, these people request that you're no longer on the show? Is that what they're saying?
No, they can just send me a really.
Oh, they just want to yell at you?
They can just like judge me. Like they can just like yell at me, whatever. Yeah, there's
no,
probably
people
a lot of,
love you, Heather.
A lot of people have their shit together more than me.
No. That could be said of any of us, but let's not go into that. We're wrapping up here, and I love you. Everybody loves you. So, again, $2 a month. I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. On behalf of my good friend, Heather Jones, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.